you're going to be that much more of a blessing and an impact to your family and the world for that matter, right, if you are in good health.
Not to say that I don't care about getting hit, but it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Pull this okay. Right here, because you're stronger there.
Yes.
So I need to pull this, then go.
Like, wasn't MMA enough? Like, the gloves are almost no gloves. They're super small, right? They're basically almost bare knuckle. Right. What's, why? Like, why do we need and to go further here?
Because why not?
All right. Simple answer. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back with Real Deal Talk. We have a very, very special guest in the studio today. Professional MMA fighter, all around badass chick, ladies and gentlemen. Look at her. She's a specimen. Christina Marks is in the house. Thanks for joining us, girl.
I need that intro everywhere I go.
Let's go. I'm for hire. I don't come cheap. The podcast is free, but if you need me to follow you around and intro you everywhere, okay. Yeah. That's going to cost you.
I mean, if you do that, maybe my son will think I'm cool.
Right. Like, I'm cool. I don't know about that. As cool as you look and you are, right? Yeah. Even the 17-year-old.
He does not.
No. Yeah. He's like, yeah, whatever, mom. Yeah. Are you just uncool still?
Something like that. It's like, bruh, no,
bruh,
stop.
Bruh. Same thing with my daughter, 14. And as cool as I think I am, it's like, dad.
Yeah.
And mommy's the worst. Mommy just embarrasses her. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I'm really excited about this. We met around the way in Kearney Mesa here.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You're now coming to the Wellness Center, Real Deal Wellness, getting your wellness on, your freeze on, your cryo on, your red light on. Your son's coming here now. Appreciate that. Appreciate the support. But I'm looking. So, folks, professional MMA fighter.
Right.
You were on season 26 of The Ultimate Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Your coach was, who was your coach again?
Eddie Alvarez.
And you were up against, who was the other coach?
Justin Gaethje.
Okay, got it. So the MMA world, you guys are all knowing those names right there. My other watchers and listeners probably have no clue who that is, but they're going to find out.
Yeah.
So what we're going to dig into your backstory, your testimony, which I can't wait to hear, because how do you get into fighting? I can't wait to find this out. And then also we're going to have some major takeaways here, folks, because she's the strength and conditioning coach for, give me some things that you're the, what teams and you've been.
Yeah, I did strength and conditioning for Cathedral High School football team.
Nice.
Helping them break their 40 times. So I also have volleyball players, soccer players. I've had a football player, so I keep them in shape just for their sport. But it's really cool to see them, like, they've been with me since like high school and middle school, and now they're in college, and they always come back to me on their off season.
That's incredible. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, folks, we're going to get you some practical stuff about takeaways today for getting in shape, staying in shape, for, you know, because you were a track star, right?
Yeah, I read for San Diego State, 4x1, 4x4, and the 400 hurdles was my main event.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. What was your best one?
I guess it was my hurdles.
Yeah.
That was accidental how that happened, but I always liked the 400.
Yeah.
But the 400 hurdles was my...
What was your best 400 non-hurdle time?
52 flat.
Oh my gosh.
But you should see the times now. I wouldn't even probably got
they're
a scholarship.
In the 40s.
They're crazy right now.
Crazy.
But then that time was good.
Wow. Yeah. Insane. Okay. And then you do personal training at what gym are you training at?
I'm at Odyssey. I just made a switch. I used to have another part owner in Old Town, but I just made the switch. Odyssey is my coach's training facility.
Yeah.
So it has made it easier, because when I was training, I will have to drive so much. So now I can just have everyone there and then I can go into training. So that's in Linda Vista.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so in Odyssey, and what are you training for? You're always training and fighting. I watch your Instagram. You're always fighting,
right?
Always hitting the mitts, always hitting
the
bag.
Right.
Are you training for anything like that's
so
upcoming?
I declined a few of the boxing fights. So I do have a meniscus tear. So next week I'm going to be talking to my orthopedic to see if we're going to do surgery or what's going on. But I've been trying to play to see where I can test it out and do stuff. But in jiu-jitsu, just, you know, you really need certain positions and holding, and I can't hold it for a long time because of the bend. So we're figuring it out. So I'll know next week what I'm going to do.
And then, so do you know how you did that? Obviously it was training, I'm assuming.
Yeah. When I first did it, it was from a knee bar, and then but it was on the opposite side.
Somebody
and
got you in a knee bar?
I was
you got...
getting out of it, and I just got out of it wrong, and I hurt it. Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Second time, I was just having an aggressive workout. Working out is like my therapy, and I think I just went into it without warming up, and I just was squats, and I felt it. And
this was weight training.
Yeah. And went home, and it like ballooned up. I was like, ugh. And that's when, so they did the MRI. So I have a tear in my meniscus horn. I have two cysts behind my knee, a bruised bone, and the way it's teared, it's getting caught in my ligament. So that's why I keep on like catching myself. So we gotta do something about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. I'm assuming you've had a lot of injuries.
Quite a bit.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
What was your worst one? Was it, you had other MCL or ACLs?
Nothing major where I needed surgeries, but like rib pop out, shoulder. My nose is fractured, tooth popped out, like half of it, so I just took it out. I have a glare in my left eye because I used to drop it a lot, so I get getting hit so much.
What, you used to what? Drop it?
Drop my hand. So I
drop have your a hand.
Yeah. So,
so you got hit there all the time.
Yeah, so I have a little bit of a glare on my left eye.
What does that mean?
Everyone looks amazing because you have a glare. It's like a fog.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so your vision is actually a little fogged?
On this side, yeah.
Oh my gosh, this is unbelievable. This is why I brought you on, because I'm like fascinated to get, dig in and
yeah,
like
boxer fractures, you know, but other little things.
You've had boxer fractures,
especially when I did the bare knuckle fight and I felt it right away. Yeah, when I fractured it.
So you fractured in your bare knuckle fight?
I did. Yeah.
So when did you do the bare knuckle? What?
I did that.
Because you're what, 39 now?
I'm 39 now. So I did that, I want to say maybe 5 years ago. I can't remember. I'm really bad with dates.
Yeah.
But I remember it was on my birthday in Wyoming.
So tell me about that.
Chris Levian was in that one.
He was?
Uh-huh.
He was fighting?
Mm-hmm. He won.
He won. Mm-hmm. He's crazy. Was it the Crippler? What's his nickname? Was it the Crippler? Yeah, uh-huh. I knew it.
Yeah. I trained. He was my wrestling coach for a while. I used to train with the at Arena.
Yeah, he's mm-hmm. he's over there above the gym, TG.
Oh,
right?
Now he is.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's his place.
That's his place. But yeah. When I was with him, it was when he was at the Arena.
Gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm. So before we dig into the backstory, while you just mentioned it, because now I'm fascinated by this, I didn't realize you had done bare knuckle fighting. Explain to the viewers and the listeners exactly what does that bare knuckle fighting mean? Because it's becoming more and more popular
it
right now.
It actually is. It is. So basically, when they tape you, it's just your wrist and nothing on your knuckle. So even less than like MMA gloves, because you know MMA gloves are 4 ounces. So this is just bare.
Bare.
Completely bare. And that's why you see so much more blood. And that's why I got a fracture, because I had no padding on there.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So why, what is the, like, wasn't MMA enough? Like the gloves are almost no gloves. They're super small, right? They're basically almost bare knuckle. Right. Why do we need go further here?
Because why not? Because why not?
All right. Simple answer. Yeah.
Why not? I mean, I've done some extreme sports. I did another thing called X arm. That's we'll get
what's
into.
That.
So it's like a table like this, and we're arm wrestling. One hand. So we're tied together.
Oh God, here we go.
We're tied together. Our arms to be like arm wrestling, but the other hand you can punch, throw
Shut
a kick. And since
up.
I'm known for Muay Thai, I was like throwing my leg over the thing.
You were throwing your leg.
Uh huh. And like kicking.
You're
and
allowed
like
to kick.
Yeah, if you can bring your leg up over there, yeah. But at the same time, you have to arm wrestle.
So the whole idea here is to pin their arm.
But while you're getting hit.
What is this?
I don't know.
I never even heard of this. Have you heard of this?
It only lasts for like 2 seasons, but.
And you signed up for this.
I said, put me in, coach. Yeah.
Tell me you weren't kind of like, it had to be kind of humorous. Like you're over here trying to lift your leg above the.
So what they did, it was actually like a whole like showing too. So they saw us how we learned how to do. So my arm wrestling is actually pretty good. My son can't beat me because.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because it's a technique. And there was like this world class arm wrestler who won like all these things and teaching you how to arm wrestle.
Right.
So it's a technique when you're here. Right away you have to pull. To unlock that, and then you have more range to go outside.
I thought that you kind of lead in, mm-mm, so the shoulder.
So here, right away. So if we were going,
yeah.
Here,
here we go.
Pull this
okay.
Right here, because you're stronger there.
Yes.
So I need to pull this, then go.
Ah.
Yeah. little
here,
trick.
Give me that again. Let me see. So basically, because I'm teaching my daughter to kind of, I am teaching her to kind of.
Yeah. So this, but then, so over here.
Yep.
Cool. And you're already starting to get weaker. Then go down.
Oh yeah. Like, yeah. I can't even do anything there. I'd love to. Should we arm wrestle? You think you'd beat me? You probably would, huh?
I don't know.
Now that you taught me.
I know.
Now you taught me everything you know.
So yeah, I just.
My daughter is so strong, but I teach her to just kind of like get the shoulder in there. Because once you pull on them, then you use your shoulder, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get the shoulder in there.
Yeah, but I want to break this because you're stronger right here. If I break that, not as strong.
So basically, as soon as you go, you want to pull.
Uh-huh. And then go.
And then, okay, mm-hmm. Wow, this is great. Okay. And then you're punching each other. Dude, what are you wearing? Do you have gloves on? Or was it bare knuckle?
Oh, my God, I remember that. Oh, like MMA gloves.
Were you connecting?
Yeah. I remember.
Tell me we can find a video.
I know.
This.
It's like, hopefully we can. But there was like, the ref is so close and the blood was splattering. He was like wiping it off.
The blood was splattering?
Yeah.
Listen to her. She's laughing like a psychotic,
yeah.
crazy person. So blood was splattering. You were hitting that hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you pull away like and not get hit?
A little bit, but not that far. We're connected.
This is unbelievable. So are you actually arm wrestling? Why don't you just?
So the first time I actually forgot that I needed to arm wrestle and I was hitting and she pinned me. I'm like, God dang it. So then they gave her a point. Second time, as soon as she was trying, I stopped it. Yep. And then I started going ham. Like, yeah. And so I won that part. Yeah.
And she's bleeding on the table. Yeah. This is like, I love that you think that's hilarious. So then you pinned her.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And how many times was it? Best 2 out of 3? What was it?
Yeah, 2 out of 3. Mm-hmm.
And then you got her on the other one too?
Yeah.
Same thing, you were nailing her?
Yeah.
Did you hit her with your foot? Were you able to actually connect?
Except I don't remember, but it just came up and then down. So I don't know if I connected with that, but definitely made her move. Because she wasn't like a fighter.
No.
Yeah.
What was she like?
Like I don't know, someone they found.
Some sacrificial lamb they found in the street. Hey, it's you $150
like,
bucks?
You remember those epic fights? It's kind of like that. You know, have you been to those epic? No, not epic.
I was going
to
say epic. I'm the.
No. The other ones. The one, I used to call it the chicken coop. Way out. Oh, the fights were so bad. It was like a professional.
Yeah.
Against some, like I don't want to say soccer mom because I'm a soccer mom. Yeah. But like. You know, it was so bad. And I'm like, where did they get these people
from?
Oh,
my gosh.
What was that thing?
It was like in a chicken coop?
We called it that because it was like right next door was like a whole bunch of chickens and it smelled like crap later on.
Oh, my gosh. This is crazy.
I know all the old school fighters.
So you're a soccer mom too?
Yeah, my son plays soccer.
So what happens when you walk out on the field? I can only imagine what dads and the moms. The moms are probably super jealous. Because you guys, if you're looking at this, make sure you watch the YouTube. She's shredded. She loves showing off the abs. The abs are always popping. She's ripped, shredded.
Yeah. I mean, I always hear like the moms like, oh, I saw your workout today or something like
that. Really?
Yeah.
So they're watching.
All, yeah. They'll say stuff. They're like, oh, this is my cheat day. I'm not your trainer. I don't care.
I know
what
people. Yeah. People said that to me.
I don't care what you eat. Yeah. If they see when I'm like, I eat a lot. Yeah. They're like, what, do you want a salad? I'm like, no, I don't want a salad. Yeah. Why would you think I want a salad? I don't.
yeah. So anybody that's muscular or ripped, they think we're circus attractions.
Yeah.
Like what happens with the dads, like their husbands, are they?
No one says much to like, yeah, because I'm super like, even though my sport and the stuff that I do is extreme outside of that.
Yeah.
So calm.
But do you dress? What's the word I'm looking for?
I usually always have hoodies on.
You do?
Hoodies. Like, yeah.
Hoodies. But but also the leggings.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So but is in the hoodies a cutoff hoodie? So the abs are showing.
Well, it's cut off right now, but usually when I'm on the field. I try not to. I don't want to try. My son
you try. You try not to. But sometimes there's happens to be a cut hoodie and my abs are sometimes showing. But I try not to. Sure. Is your son embarrassed when you do that?
No. I mean, usually I'm always pretty much covered up. So he's
deep down, you know, he's proud. You know this. Yeah. Like my daughter and my son, as much as they bust my chops, I know that they're proud that their dad's jacked in his 50s.
Yeah,
I know
always
this.
Like, you know, when you grow up and you're always like, whatever, your mom. I'm like, hey, I call my son Poppy. I'm like, dude, does your friends always say, whatever, your mom? He's like, no, they know my mom. And I'm like, he was like, they said that. I was like, ooh, I'm going to tell my mom. They all know who I am.
Yes. So, yeah. Yeah. Exactly. They act all tough, but they know they're proud that you're jacked and ripped. Okay, so now that, all right, we're getting off on tangents. We got to go to the backstory. Yeah. Backstory, like how the heck did you get here? All right, so born and raised
in San Diego.
In San Diego,
yeah.
No way.
Uh huh.
Where'd you go to? I'm not going to jump to high school, but I need to know, where'd you go to high school?
Patrick Henry.
Okay. Oh, wow. No kidding. Yeah. Okay, so born and raised, both parents, good child upbringing.
No,
good childhood.
Not the best.
Okay, so go. What happened?
I mean, my parents were young. My mom was barely 16. My dad was 18. So when they had
you at 16?
Right. Yeah. So I was raised primarily by her mom, my grandmother, because she was just so young.
Yeah.
And so thank goodness for her. And then my parents were just not good together. So the household was just very chaotic.
A little bit of toxic vibration.
Absolutely. And then my brother, I have a little brother. He's
what age were they when they had him?
5 years later.
Yeah. Okay.
Because we were 5 years apart.
So they didn't get along well. They were super young.
Yeah.
Do you remember
and
anything?
Both bipolar. So that was really?
Lord.
Yeah. So it was a very, very tough upbringing, but I always instantly I found track. I have a newspaper clipping. I was 4 and a half when I did a 5K. I was the youngest to ever do it.
5K?
Yeah.
At 4 and a half?
Yeah, I have it. Because I was looking at the date.
That's
I was like,
3 miles.
I didn't turn 5 yet. So I saw the date. Yeah. So I still have that. But sports always was my go-to. Like, home is chaos. I can't control that. So I'm like, I'm going to go for a run. So I was just that girl running or just diving into that. So
like as a child, what's the first memory you have of the house, like knowing that there was something awry, like it was a little bit of a negative environment there? Like, do you remember what your first, like, were you 4 or 5? Because normally you don't remember anything until you're...
I just remember a lot of arguing. A lot of throwing stuff at each other.
Yeah.
A lot of, I feel like my mom didn't want to be a mom, you know, but, you know, so... A lot of like yelling at me. If they couldn't yell at each other, they're going to yell at me. I'm the oldest, you know.
Yeah.
So, but taking care of my brother. So they weren't the best. So I just stepped in and took care of my brother.
How many siblings do you have?
Just him.
Just him?
Yeah.
Okay. So when he came in, you were 5, mm-hmm. 6.
5, yeah.
Yeah. And then what happened? What did they stay together? Did they end
they up? They end up getting a divorce probably a few years after my brother was born.
Years.
I believe so. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I blame it on getting hit too much. So, so, but once they split, it was better where they weren't arguing.
Yeah.
But then like, you know, dad's free now, he's young.
Yeah.
You know, so he wasn't really picking us up and doing that stuff.
Because now he's mid-20s.
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah. And he was kind of just off doing his own thing. And then my mom, her being bipolar and just up and down with emotion.
They were diagnosed bipolar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Both of them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So I was either getting kicked out or yelled at or I couldn't do anything right. So I was always with my grandmother. So my grandma was the one that primarily raised me.
And where did grandma live in relation to your home?
She was close. She was because I lived in Southeast. I grew up in Southeast San Diego.
Yeah.
So by Gompers, and she lived by Lincoln High School. So there's times I'll just leave the house and just walk all the way over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or she'll pick me
so
up.
So she basically raised you more than your mom did.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And coaches. I always say her and all my coaches helped raise me.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then they separated. Mm-hmm. But does that mean they were still living in the same home?
No, they divorced.
Okay.
And they moved out. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you don't really remember much from like around that point. You said it was better in the house, but
it was a little calmer, like where they're not arguing with each other, but it was just more I'm off on my own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you said you went to, was it running first?
Yeah, track and field was my go-to.
Right away?
Right away. Mm-hmm.
What age did you start that? I know you did the 5K at 4.
Yeah, and then I started, I was competing ever since.
Ever since?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's all I know is competition.
That's it. Okay, yeah. So you went right into there. But was your brother getting into sports as well?
Not really. He was really good in basketball, but... not really. He later on, he's bipolar. He was bipolar schizophrenic.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So this is obviously a genetic thing.
Mm-hmm. And I always worried. I'm like, it skipped me. I'm like, is it going to go to my son? But now seeing, I'm like, me and my parents' relationship is good now.
Yeah.
There was complete signs about my brother. So I would have seen it in my son. So already.
So your parents are my age, 54, 55, 56. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
Okay. So what, you started with track.
Mm-hmm.
Then where did it go from there? What sport?
Yeah, so it was honestly, it was just always track. I mean, I dib and dab to like playing. I remember one of my friends wanted to do cheerleading, so I tried.
Oh gosh.
So I did it for one day. I'm like, this sucks. So then I went on to the football team.
Yeah. You did?
Yeah. And I played a little bit, but then my mom's like, I'm not paying for that. So I couldn't play. Yeah. I only could do sports if it was free or something.
So wait, so you joined the football team. Mm-hmm. And how did you get received by the football players?
I knew a lot of the kids already, and I always the girl that played like tackle football in the street. I was always that one girl with all the boys. So
the tomboy girl. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Slap boxing with the boys all the time.
You were?
So good at it. I just should have known by then that, you know, fighting should have been my calling.
Yes.
I was super fast with my hands.
You were already slap fighting with the boys? What were the other girls in your grade thinking? Like, how were you received by the girls?
They just like, oh, my friends call me Tina. They're like, oh, that's just Tina. So I have like my girlfriends. They're so girly. It's so funny.
Yeah.
And then,
to this day.
Yeah, they're pretty girly. And then, but then anytime I do something, like, oh, that's just her. Yeah.
That's Tina. Yeah, is that your
Tina.
Nickname, Tina?
Tina. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then, so slap fighting with the boys.
Yeah.
So what? Why did they?
It was just a thing you did.
Voluntarily, they still did this with you, even though they're boys hitting girls.
Yeah.
They were okay with this.
I think since like maybe I just came off as like, oh, it's just, and no one really perceived me as like a girl,
yeah,
you know? Like even when I'm training with all the guys, like even my coach is like, when someone comes to me, they're like, don't look at her like she's a female. Like she's going to hit you probably harder
than
don't
I. Don't come in this.
Yeah. He'll tell anyone that comes in new. Or so, you know, they just didn't see me as.
Yeah, you know, they saw you. They saw you as one of the guys.
Yeah.
Okay, so track, and then at what point did you? What's the next sport? Football.
I did football.
So how? Give me football. What the heck?
Yeah, I was just really fast. I actually tried out on lingerie football, and I made that team. But then it.
What was it?
Lingerie football. You ever heard
lingerie
of
lingerie football?
The LA Temptations. Yeah. So how that happened was my roommate in Orange County. She's like, let's try out. I'm like, I don't want to try out for this. I'm a fighter. This, I'm already fighting.
Yes.
I'm like, no, I don't want to do this. And she's like, come on. I'm like, I was like, all right. At that time, I was talking to someone in LA and we lived in Orange County. I'm like, you know what? We go in separate cars. We'll go there. And after that, I'll go up and see whoever. She's like, okay, thank God we took separate cars. She got cut right away. And I made the whole thing. I'm like, Jesus, I can't go anywhere and not make it. And it was just because I was fast.
Yeah.
I believe because I was fast.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I didn't care. And I'm very coachable. That's one thing I know that about myself.
That's great.
I'm super, super coachable. Like just break it down and I'll get it right away.
Yeah.
So then I made the team and then went to a few practices, but then there was some mandatory ones. And then I had like fighting. I had to make a decision. I was like, I didn't want to be on the team.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so I let that go. And
were they sad to see you go?
They were like, you're just so, and I'm actually good friends still with some of the girls. And it's funny. They're like, I can't believe you're a fighter. And I'm all, but you guys hit with no pads. Like, but to other people, fighting is so extreme. I don't see it that way. But
because it's more, to your point, it's more controlled. It's more, you're trained.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Whereas out there, you're just flying around, hitting on, running into each other with no pads.
Right.
All right. So go back now, football. But at what point, when did the fighting start and how did it start? What did you start with?
So fighting didn't start until way later. I started at 23.
23.
I started 2 weeks after I had my son. So that's why I know I've been doing this for 17 years.
And so what got you into it? Like where did it start?
His father was training and I remember going to a few fights. And it's so funny. He's like, I didn't say that to you. Always say that. And I'm about to say, I'm like, you did say this. I was like, oh, I can totally see myself doing this. And he's like, no, you can't do that. Yeah, right. And I'm like, wait, me? I'm an athlete. I could do this. And he was like, I don't see it.
So wait. This is your
son's father.
This is son's father. He was a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
How did you meet him?
In college. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. San Diego State.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What attracted you to him? What happened? Let's go there a little bit.
What attracted me towards him? You know, he used to be one of those frat boys throwing he was throwing a party or something like that, and he kind of brushed me off. Anyone who brushes me off.
Here we go.
No.
He's smart. He knows the game. And is what then, that means.
He reeled me in or whatever. Uh-huh. Yeah.
My man. He knew exactly what he was doing.
You know, brush me off.
No. Yeah, the only way to get you would be to don't pay attention.
Pretty much.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He was spot on.
Yeah.
Well done, son. Well done.
So, and then we did the dating through college, and he later on became a fighter, like with this team called Fight Ugly. It was a small team. I went to one of his fights, and then I got pregnant at the time, and then I was like, I can see myself doing this. And he's like, nah.
So then you can't.
Yeah.
No.
So 2 weeks after I had my son, I started just training, and even like
going. Was he against it? Was he like, what are you doing?
Whatever. He was just like, if you want to come and train, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But the team wasn't that, I wouldn't say they were that open, because they're like, who, and especially you have to think 17 years ago, females weren't fighting.
Correct.
Like that.
Not at all.
So they weren't really letting me train with them. But Mantis, who was a Muay Thai coach, he was like, I'll do some mitts with you. And so we were training a lot of Muay Thai.
Yeah.
And then one day they were short. They needed more people to spar. And then he was like, throw Christina in. She's actually like pretty good. They're like, fine. And I remember the guy named Zippy. And I sparred against him. And he hit me once, and I just came forward and just start welling. And he was against like the wall, and they're like, okay, get her off. And then the coach was like, wait a minute, would you want to fight? I'm like, I'm insane. I want to train, you know? So I think that's the biggest
thing. That's all it took was one sparring session. They're like, whoa.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's like, everyone looks good when you're going forward. Everyone looks good when you're hitting pads. But what happens when you get hit?
Right.
So I did get clocked.
Yeah.
I just press forward. And that's when you know if you have it in you or not.
Yes.
And not to say that I don't care about getting hit, but it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what separates the actual fighters from the non-fighters.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What
do you do when shit's not going right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't care how well you look like on pads. What do you do when you get hit?
Exactly. Yeah. So as soon as that happened, he started wailing on the guy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What was he doing? Was he like, whoa?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. And he was always like, Jake, you came out of nowhere.
So then they said, Do you wanna fight?
Yeah. So I did a couple of amateur like Muay Thai fights in the beginning, over in Tijuana.
How long did they then locked in with you? How long were you training before you actually got into the ring?
3 months.
3 months. Yeah. That fast.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so talking about the first one, you said Tijuana. So,
yeah, I did a lot of Muay Thai ones, and I was winning that. And then finally, they were like...
And so give me the Muay Thai ones. What does that mean?
It was just...
You're wearing the small gloves.
Uh-huh. And we had, because it was
shin
amateur...
Pads? Shin pads.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then it's more of a... Is there a point system? Or right? It's not where you're knocking each other out, mm-hmm. right?
No. Uh-huh.
It's more of a point thing. Okay.
Right, so I did two of those. I won that. And then they're like, let's try MMA. I'm like, all right. And so, and it's funny because when I made the Ultimate Fighter show and I was fighting, DC was like, out of all the things I did, he was like, you know, her first fight was in a strip club.
And what? I'm
like, yeah.
What does that mean?
So they built a cage in the middle of the strip club Hong Kong. So I tell people like, yeah, my first fight was in Hong Kong. They're like, oh, really? I'm all... Not the Hong Kong you're thinking.
This is in San Diego or Tijuana?
You know, Tijuana.
Tijuana.
Yeah, the strip club Hong Kong. Yeah.
I know nothing about that.
Oh, okay. Do you know?
You.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know.
Tony knows. Tony knows. Okay. Tony, I'll be.
Oh, yeah.
You're from TJ. Well, there you go. I actually don't know,
okay.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Because I definitely knew strip clubs in San Diego.
Yeah, and they built a...
Allegedly.
A cage in there. And that was my first MMA fight.
So hold on. You don't just start doing MMA. Obviously, what were you training in the gym? You're doing Muay Thai, but were you training jiu-jitsu?
No, I was not training that much jiu-jitsu. I feel like the team, we were just like, it was like a bunch of people who wanted to fight. We built a team together.
Just messing around.
But we were just hitting hard. Like, all of us are super tough. Or were that technical? I don't know.
But tough.
So more Muay Thai than anything. So even when I was on the Ultimate Fighter show, they call me like the Muay Thai girl because that's what my bread and butter. Jiu-jitsu, I don't think.
Explain, sorry. But I'm just realizing now we're brushing over these terms because I have a large viewership of fighters now because I do the Epic Fighting interviews for the fighters. However, I have a even larger audience that has no idea what you're talking about, even though I've had a lot of fighters on.
Yeah.
So Muay Thai. Explain Muay Thai boxing. What is the difference between that and normal boxing, jiu-jitsu? Yeah. Let's break that down.
So I always tell people, think of boxing. So we can't go to the ground, but we can throw kicks and elbows.
Uh-huh.
So for Muay Thai, we're throwing kicks and elbows, but we're in a boxing stance-ish to begin with. And then jiu-jitsu is all the stuff on the ground where you're seeing, you know, submissions and all that. So.
And Muay Thai, correct me if I'm wrong here, there's a lot of where you can put your, grab them behind the head.
Clinch.
The clinch.
Mm-hmm.
Explain the clinch, because that's what Muay Thai separates it a lot.
Right, and I love the clinch. So it's just grabbing behind the neck, and then I like to put my elbows in, like right here, by the collarbone. And then you turn, do a knee, stuff like that. So you can actually do the clinch, one arm clinch, and bare knuckle fighting. So I think that's what helped me as well.
Oh, really?
You can clinch and go uppercuts. And that's where she never done any of that, my opponent. So that helped me in that fight.
The first fight in the strip club?
No, I'm talking about for bare knuckle.
Oh, the bare knuckle. We're back in the bare knuckle.
But for the strip club.
We're going to get back on the bare knuckle.
Yeah. The strip club, that was, a little cage in the middle of the strip club. And still, that wasn't sanctioned or anything. You would call it like an amateur fight.
Yeah.
But there was no paddings or anything. We're full on.
And you had the little gloves?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I beat her pretty fast. And that was like the main attraction, the female fighting. They asked the girl, would you want to go again?
She's like, no.
She said, yeah. So, because
the same night?
Yeah. So I had two.
Hold on. Did you knock her out the first time?
So it was like a TKO. It was over. And so they just pulled her off.
So what is it? So the first fight.
Mm-hmm.
You nailed her.
Yeah.
Right.
She went down. And I hit her. And they were, obviously, they want to protect her. So they grabbed me off right away. Fight's over.
So when she went down,
uh-huh.
This is something I need to ask here. You then, you see blood.
Yeah.
And now you're like, you literally want to, she's on the ground. She's helpless.
Yeah.
And you want to pulverize her more. Is that the way this goes?
Yeah.
So this is what you do just to finish them, to make sure they're done?
Yeah. You just keep on going until someone pulls you off. Yeah.
Isn't there anything inside you at all that thinks, okay, this girl's done. I don't need to hit her again.
Well, she signed up for it.
Okay.
Until the coach until the ref stops it, that's
I see
you signed
these
up for.
poor girl.
If it was the other way around, that person would not care.
It's true. This is true. But I'm just fascinated that you know they're done.
Uh-huh.
And I see like a lot of times that like the guys.
In sparring, like in like practice, if I got the person or something like that, I'll step away.
Yeah.
But in a fight?
Yeah. You make sure she's done. Is that what it is?
Until they stop it.
Yeah. I'm like, isn't there anything that feels, no, she signed up for it.
Yeah.
She knows what she's getting into. Yeah. Oh, my God. So then she's, but let's give her credit. She said she'd do it again?
Yeah.
I'd be like, no.
Yeah. She said,
she
okay,
just
yeah.
destroyed me.
Yeah. And did it again. I don't know. It was, everything was really fast. And I was like, this is
so the first
so
one was
fun.
In the first round?
Huh?
The first one was in the first round?
Yeah, both of them were.
Both? Yeah. And then the second one, I can't believe she said yes.
Yeah.
You got to give her a little bit of credit here.
Oh, for sure.
For saying okay.
I would say she probably was probably one of the dancers. I don't know. I don't know where they got her.
This poor girl.
And she's probably afterwards going to give him a lap dance. Yes. I don't know.
She probably came in that night to make some tips, do some lap dances. Next thing she knows, she's running into Christina Marks, who's out to kill her. Who's just a straight killer. What did she get herself into that night, huh? Oh, my gosh. That's so funny.
Maybe she got better tips and they feel bad for her.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
totally. Oh, my God. So she said, let's do it again.
Uh-huh.
And you did the same thing? Like, same thing.
Yeah.
Clinched. You did the clinch.
I don't care. It's such a long time ago, but I just remember it was really fast and it pulled me off of her.
Did you hit her with knees? You remember any knees?
In my beginning career, I always threw knees. So I want to say I probably did.
Probably.
So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay, where do we go from here? Like, what fighting next? Did you train more jiu-jitsu? Did you get into anything?
I wish I did. Not as much. Still a lot with my stand-up and boxing. And then finally, they were going to sanction the first female fight in Tijuana. So I was the first female, my opponent, to be sanctioned as a MMA fighter in Tijuana. So wow. It was like a huge deal out yeah. there. And it was over at Auditorio.
Yeah.
So it was really big. So I had my first like legit fights over there, like 3-4 of them. And a lot of people were like, it was like this thing about, oh, you're fighting over there. But they were more legit than some of the fights in my beginning career over here.
Really?
Like their blood work, everything was to the T. Here, when I was telling the where I used to fight, it's called the chicken coops. No blood work, no like nothing. You wouldn't have a face off, and it'll be a different girl at a different weight. Like so, they were real legit out there.
Wow, mm-hmm. No kidding. So going back to the strip club again, because you had said something and it just came to me again.
Yeah,
that's when you realize, ooh, I like this a lot.
Yeah.
You're like, ooh, I love this.
Like walking into the cage or into like a ring is like an unreal feeling. Yeah.
Explain what that feels like.
It's just like those butterflies, but knowing I am the X factor, like only so many people do this in the world as a female as well. It's just a crazy adrenaline rush. Yeah. And also I didn't track and field before. So I think I'm so used to always the spotlight on me. Or just one person.
Yeah.
But walking to like a cage or arena is like an unreal feeling. Like it's a crazy feeling.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, cause I try to put myself in their shoes because I go to the Epic Fights. We have a VIP table because Real Deal Wellness mm-hmm. is a sponsor. So right next to the cage. So I'm always like, look at these guys standing here. And then when they go in, they barbarically.
Yeah.
Is that a word, barbarically? You understand the context. Yeah. Anyway, then they put this chain in the mm-hmm. freaking door, like you're locked in there.
It's like a modern day gladiator.
It's so
thing.
Barbaric.
I think the it's guy's like, more like
he's like
thing.
Hammering this thing, yeah. this because there's no way you're getting out of there unless you either knock the guy out, mm-hmm. submit him, or you get knocked out or submit right. him. That's mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. There's no other way you're coming out of that right. ring, mm-hmm. that octagon, the cage.
Yeah,
that's unbelievable to me.
Yeah.
Like with hammering the thing to lock the gate. I'm always fascinated by that.
It takes a special person yes. to do it. It's more mental.
Just to
than
get
anything.
In there.
Just to get in
100%.
There. 100%. It's so much more mental than anything.
No question.
Yeah.
No
you're
question.
In there by yourself. There's no one that can, like, one mistake, you're done.
Yeah, it's not like you can't be like, you can't do, yeah. I mean, you can.
Right.
You could, but right. then you'd be just a, you know, pathetic.
Yeah, so definitely takes a special person to get in there.
So, all right. So then you realize you love this. Then, so give me the progression of the quote unquote career from there.
Yeah, so still obviously fighting is like huge for females, and we didn't really think that it was going to be something big for me because at that time I was a financial aid director for a college in Orange County. So then I was commuting for a while, then I moved up to Orange County. So while I was doing that, being a mom, me and his dad's is already separated from there.
You still talking to him?
Oh, we're best friends. He's one of my biggest training partners.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
oh,
I'm actually the godmom to his daughter.
No way.
Yeah, so we're like very close. I love his wife. So, yeah, he's
oh, that's
my
awesome.
Best friend. He's
oh, that's
family.
Great.
Yeah.
Love that.
He's a brown belt as well as me.
Yeah.
So he's one of my big, and he's super athletic when I'm at as well. So it works good.
That's great.
So,
and you're brown belt in what? Jiu-jitsu?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Give me the belt.
So it goes white.
White.
Blue. Purple. Brown. Black.
And it's really, because that's not many belts.
No, and it's,
so
you just don't get it.
No.
I was stuck at purple for, I want to say, almost 7 years.
7 years.
Because I wouldn't want to put the gi on.
Is that what it is? The gi?
Some coaches are different, and I'm the first one that my coach promoted without the gi.
What does that mean? Because, tell me what the gi means.
Well, traditionally, you need to wear the gi.
Yes.
And you need to be in it. And if you're not, like, I mean, I know 10th Planet and all them are no gi, so they will promote probably a little faster
right.
than someone stuck at 7 years. And then I also had, like, injuries and stuff, so I kind of was off the mat here and there. So eventually.
Why the gi? Like, explain
the
gi. No, but, like, I can see why. I feel all like, I don't want to wear a gi.
Well, especially for me, I'm super athletic, I'm super fast, and if someone stops,
they grab me,
that takes a little bit of my weapon. So I like to wrestle, so you can't wrestle as much in the gi.
True.
So I tend to not like the gi. So anytime I compete in jiu-jitsu, I'm a no gi. I always tell people I'm a brown belt no gi, because that's a different world. It's a different world.
Is gi then harder because they can grab your gi? Is that what makes it harder
to me? I think no-gi is harder to do a submission, stuff like that. Especially when you get slippery, you really have to hold it.
Yeah.
Like the submission, or because you can't grab onto the person.
True.
If someone is trying to, you can just hold on to someone with the gi, but you can be more technical in the gi as well. I've been trying to put it back on, especially with my injury, to slow it down.
Yeah.
So, because I need to slow it down with my injury. So, yeah.
First and foremost, I want to thank everybody for watching, for listening. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you, the feedback, the love. So if you want to support the show, we have a company, Real Deal Wellness. That's our wellness center. It's a membership base where you pay $99 a month, have unlimited access to red light therapy, cryotherapy, compression therapy, halo therapy, as well as massage chairs. Also, Real Deal Sleep's our mattress company. But again, we can't thank you enough for subscribing and for sharing the show. Continue to do so. We love you. Thank you. Have a nice day. Okay. Wow. It's incredible. I didn't know it was that big of a difference between the two.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you go, you start, obviously started training jiu-jitsu more and more, mm-hmm. right? Then when did the actual, like, when you went to pro level, when did that start happening?
I went pro right away.
Immediately.
Like, when that 3 months fight. Yeah. When
that was immediately, oh my gosh.
Yeah, so I always tell people, learn from my mistake. Don't go pro right away.
Yeah.
Because what was I doing? I took fights where I shouldn't even belong in there. Like, I fought Sarah McMahon when she was, like, in the, what is she, like, a West wrestler, like, gold medalist?
Yeah.
She took me down right away. And I mean, like, my jiu-jitsu, my wrestling wasn't at par yet, but I was just super tough.
Yeah.
So I just took fights when I shouldn't have took fights. But I was already pro. Once you go pro, you cannot go back. And I learned the hard way. But then we didn't think it was going to be big for me.
Right.
So then I was working off of a, like, losing record more than a winning record. Mm. And so then I went on a 3-fight winning streak, landed on the Ultimate Fighter show. But so, I had to move down weight classes because I was fighting at 135.
And so you were taking fights that you shouldn't have taken.
Right.
Just because you're super tough.
Yeah. My stand-up is great. No, yeah. But no one would stand up with me.
Yeah.
So
they immediately wouldn't take you down.
Take me down. And my ground wasn't as good.
So, they knew that.
Yeah. And
they exploited it, mm-hmm. which is smart.
Which is absolutely. That's what MMA. You're not going to stand up with me.
No.
I always beg people to stand up to this day. Stand up with me. You're not going to last.
Yeah.
I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
And I say that with confidence.
Of course. Yeah. I'm believing you right now. You said that to me. If you said that to me, I wouldn't stand up with you. I'm like, okay, I believe you. I'm going to stay 5 feet away so that one of those legs can't kick me either.
Yeah.
I'm just going to stay out in the outer circle here. I'm going to be safe in the safe zone away from Christina's kicks and punches because I can't be ruining the money shot here. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about? Oh, gosh. All right. So was that, but let's talk about this because in life, you know, going through trials and tribulations, mm-hmm. that's what makes us.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then was that a humbling experience?
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Like, what did that do for you? Like, going through losses and getting beat by these girls mm-hmm. that were just better at the ground game.
Yeah.
What did that do for you as a woman, as a fighter? Like, how did that motivate you?
It motivated me to, like, just work harder, to be honest. And then, but more just be more of an example for, like, my son and all that. Like, these fights doesn't define me at all. Like, is a fight because I lost really a loss? No. I'm still Christina. I'm still a mom. Still that awesome person. I just didn't get my hand raised. So I learned from really far that doesn't define me. So I try to teach my son as well, making a team, not making a team, win, loss. Like, you're still solid.
Yeah.
When people get distraught from that, that's crazy to me. Yeah. Like, so that you really did lose. You allowed that.
Right.
Yeah. That's not a loss. It's a learning, you know, and I can just teach other people as well, learn from my mistakes. Yeah.
I love that. And so for the parents out there that, because I'm seeing it in sports now, I'm a flag football coach, mm-hmm. a little bit of baseball coach, but I'm seeing a lot of parents that are taking way too seriously, way too early.
Right.
And really putting their identity in the fact, like, if they're winning or not.
Yeah.
Or if they're, like, they have big time with winning, which winning, of course, is fun.
It is. It's, and not like I'm saying don't win.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't play to lose.
Yeah, we of course that. But I'm like, I told my son, like, we had a little heart to heart like a couple of days ago. Whatever route you go, you're going to be okay. If, like, so he may not make the top team that he wants, there, and that's why he's been coming here, but he's having a lot of injuries, and it's been shown.
Soccer, right?
Soccer.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to work through that. And he's just like, I just feel like I'm not good enough. I'm like, well, you're not good enough if you believe that.
Right.
So absolutely.
Yeah.
But I'm like, but you are.
Yeah.
But I'm like, none of this defines you.
Right.
Like, how does that, like when I tell people I'm Christina Marks who fights, who does this stuff, I'm not the fighter Christina Marks. I don't identify myself as a fighter. So people have to, like, don't lose yourself in that sport or whatever it is. But yeah, you want to win. It hurts if you don't win.
Right.
But you're not, like, I always tell my son, you have 24 hours to feel this emotion.
You can 24 hours. Mm-hmm.
That has always been the rule at the house. The next day, we get over it. We push on. You can't dwell in that. Feel it, because that's valid.
Yeah.
I feel it when I have a loss. I'm like, gosh.
Oh, yeah. It's awful.
The next day, okay, back to the drawing board. Let's go.
And when did you come up with that kind of theory or that kind of, like, way of about you? Because that's...
Probably as a little kid.
Yeah.
Of crap going on in the house.
Did somebody...
And it was just so much stuff that happens in the house that... I knew the next day it was just going to be the next day. So I just had to push on from it. So that kind of just carried on with me. I can't dwell on it. So
I love that.
Yeah.
And then, okay. So now get back to the fighting. Let's go. Okay. Let's get to the Ultimate Fighter. Like, what happened? You went on a 3-match win streak, mm-hmm. fight win streak.
So before all that,
yeah,
I tried out for the Ronda Rousey and Misha Tate season.
Ah.
And I made it all the way through until they're like, you're going to be the alternate. I didn't make the show. They were like, but if someone gets hurt or something like that, we're
okay.
Gonna
put so tell me what that means. Trying out, you almost made it. What did you have
so
to do?
You,
to-
we went. You go to Vegas, and then you're in a room. You do. You're showing, like, Muay Thai. You're showing your punches, stuff like that. Then you're in the next room. You're showing. They call you and someone else. You're grappling, and this is in front of Dana White, in front of, like, the matchmakers, everything. And then after that, you go into interview process, and then from there they pick their, like, top, I don't know, 20, 30. And then you go in the hotel room. And then that was a nervous thing, because in your ring, I'm all, is that them? Is that not? And then finally, they probably, like, the second or third day, they're like, we put you as an alternate. You didn't make the roster now, but you're the alternate.
How many made the show at one time?
Maybe 15.
15.
I can't remember the exact number. Yeah.
And that's certain per side, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. 7 or 8 per side?
Something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I remember just driving back down from Vegas back down to San Diego, just like, I didn't make it, you know. And, you know, it hurts, you know, like someone saying no. And especially for me, because I've always been the top athlete in everything. I am the star. I am everything. And for, I didn't think, that's probably why I fell in love with mixed martial arts, because I wasn't the top athlete.
Yes.
I didn't know anything about it. And so it was so much of learning myself as training into a new sport.
Yeah, what are you capable
of? Driving, you know, because I'm so good at everything else. I was like, this was, like, driving me more, because I wasn't the best.
Right.
So I end up feeling that emotion.
Yeah.
And then and then in the mix of that, I actually got into some serious trouble.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I know. You used to work in the bar industry.
Yes.
I got in a confrontation with an individual outside of a club, and she threw a punch. She missed, but I threw 2 punches.
Yeah.
And they did not miss.
Right.
So 6 months later, I had a knock on my door. It was, like, detectives and everything. And so, long story short, they're trying to give me 8 years because I was a professional fighter. It wasn't her against me, it was me against the DA.
Yeah.
And I had a kid, and I didn't want to see one day in jail.
Of course.
Worst time of my life.
So when it happened, I don't even know if it's a long time.
Such a long time ago.
Okay.
This is before I made the Ultimate Fighter.
And so did you knock her out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What destroyed me was I hit her. She went down. That second hit when she was already down.
Yeah.
My lawyer could have said a little bit of, like, oh, it was just a reflex, you know, which it was the first.
Because we talked about this earlier. Isn't
right.
it funny that I was asking, like, well, what? But when they're down, you know, they're down.
Yeah. And the second one, I just went there and then I walked away. So she had a broken nose and a shattered orbital, which that breaks pretty easily.
But, yeah. The orbital.
Yeah. but she was left there, and police came, and they asked anyone know what was going on. And they were like, oh, the professional MMA fighter, Christina Marks, did it.
Oh, they knew.
Yeah. So then they did so much research, and they found that I was a for real fighter. even though I'd had no priors, I did everything right in my life. You know,
and so they came to your door. Now,
yeah.
Did you have any idea that that night was like coming back to you? Were you nervous about it?
I was, because I heard we did. Because I had friends in
the. Because I'm sure you went back out to the clubs again.
Well, the night was almost over, but that later on. Yeah. I heard right away later on that night and a couple other days, like they're like, "Hey, just to let you know, police came, was asking for surveillance outside. Like they're trying to get like information to let you know." So I knew something might be stirring up. But I was kind of on pins and needles, wasn't quite sure, because it took them a long time. And yeah. Then finally, 6 months later, I got a knock on the door. And that's when
you knew immediately what it was.
Mm-hmm. And I just said, you have to speak to my lawyer.
Yeah.
And so I got a lawyer. And so we did all the things before I went to court, did community service.
Yeah.
Rudy actually helped me do community service at Victory to show that I'm doing that stuff. I paid for her medical expenses. I didn't anger management. Everything that they could throw at me,
yeah.
My lawyer, because he used to be a DA, so he was like, "This is the stuff that they want to see."
Yeah.
So let's just do it without them asking. So we go to court, and the DA was like, "Well, she obviously has money where she this thinks you can brush it under the rug. We can't do that." And then the judge was like, "Looks like you're having a good career and you're going the right path, but unfortunately, we can't let this slide." So I took the plea offer, and it was a felony with a strike with a year of house arrest. I did 6 months for good behavior.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they had to give you something.
They had to give me something.
Did you ever communicate with the other girl ever again?
Mm-mm.
No.
No. Nothing. It wasn't even her. She didn't even come to court or anything. She wrote a letter saying, "I won't come to court," but whatever they thought was fine. But she wasn't going to come. She didn't care. It was me against the DA. And people are like, "That's messed up." Honestly, it wasn't.
The night of the fight, what was the fight about?
She was talking to one of my friends, and I seem like, let's say I seen you, and someone's like, say if you were single,
yeah.
Someone's like trying to talk to you. And I'm like, "Oh, hey, what's going on?" She's thinking that I'm maybe trying to scoot in. And I'm all, "Oh, no, I know him." And she was like, "But, you know, there's alcohol involved."
Yeah.
And then she kept on like barking. I remember that. And I was like, and then I can get kind of like cocky, and I was like,
yeah.
"Like, you're relevant now.
Yeah,
go over there, wait your turn."
Yeah.
I remember saying that to her, and then obviously that wasn't a nice thing to say to her.
Right.
She got in my face.
She didn't take that well.
No. And then she threw a punch. She missed. I threw two punches.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what happened.
Yeah, she had a learning experience that night.
And so you know.
Sounds like you both had learning experiences.
Absolutely. So because I go to schools and I talk and I do a lot of stuff. And I'm like, it took less than like a few minutes for my life to like that to be completely, I don't want to say done, but I thought it was.
Wow.
Like I did everything right.
Yeah.
And just like that,
my life
was like, I'm like, so this is why we have to pick and choose our surroundings, our situations, but also it didn't define me.
Yeah.
I end up doing what I had to do. After that, going on a 3-fight winning streak. And then making the Ultimate Fighter.
Wow.
Yeah. But I made sure that I was on the show that we didn't talk about that. I didn't want that to be my
on
story.
The show. Mm-hmm. Oh, because on the show, they
know everything.
They tell your stories.
Mm-hmm. But I didn't.
They were okay with that?
Yeah. I said I didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah. Because it would have made for a good show.
Yeah.
But
I don't think I'm a good, I know this about myself. I don't know if I'm a good ticket seller.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very quiet. I don't talk crap. I'm not really out there. I just fight.
Yeah.
That
sounds like you talk smack, though. You sound okay.
Not about my opponent. Nothing.
So when you got on
that one time I talk about it, the one time I get knocked out.
Right?
That's what I think.
Exactly. Because that's the worst thing ever. If you talk smack, you better back it up every time. Otherwise, you look like an idiot. Right? That's the one thing of my football players. I'm like, bro, if you're going to talk smack about your fellow players, this, that, you better not drop a pass.
Yeah.
Because some were talking smack about our quarterback, like, "Oh, you're gonna," I'm like, bro, and then you drop the next pass.
Yeah.
That's not how it works, dude.
Yeah,
you better catch the freaking ball if you're gonna talk some smack about our quarterback. Anyway, okay, so then Ultimate Fighter. So what was I gonna say? The confrontation that night. It's interesting that you said that is, and your surroundings. That's what you said. Mm-hmm. So go talk. Let's talk a little bit about, because there's been times where I've put myself in certain surroundings that aren't that, like, even in my older years, 40s, even 50s, mm-hmm. like in the club scene again, like,
yeah,
just even being in a club scene, mm-hmm. there's things, a lot of things that can go wrong.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
How important is it to, especially if you're someone who has notoriety or like you have responsibility,
right? Uh-huh.
Running a business, a family, I'm a ministry leader now.
Yeah.
Like, how important is it to, like, just not putting yourself in situations where something can go wrong?
Yeah. And I'm really big on that. And, like, my friends, picking and choosing what, because who are knuckleheads or not.
Yeah. Nah, knuckleheads.
Yeah.
I use that all the time.
Yeah, no, I know after they start having some drinks how they are. And the one thing about me, I have my friends back. And I'm not a punk.
Yeah.
And I don't want someone to feel threatened by me where they have to puff their chest.
Yeah.
And I have to deflate it for them.
Right.
I don't want that. So I usually don't want to go or PB when the sun goes down. That means I need to go home.
Yeah.
You know, certain situations, just knowing that. And also, I know before all that, I know outside looking in, I probably look intimidating.
Yeah.
I probably don't smile that much. So I don't want someone to feel intimidated by me. So a lot of times if someone bumps into me, I'll smile. I'm like, oh, you're good. Extra apologetic. So they know I come in peace.
Yeah.
So I do that a lot now, just making people feel comfortable.
Yeah. Yes.
And it sucks to say that, but sometimes I just have to do that because I don't want someone to feel threatened or feel like they have to show their macho-ness.
Because
a lot of guys, military guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens is bigger, stronger looking people, mm-hmm. we get approached and we get people just think they want to talk smack right away. Like, oh, what do you think? And so, and with you, and you don't smile, you look intimidating.
Like,
when you smile, you look very approachable.
Yeah. So,
but if you looked at me with a non-smile, I'd be like, I wouldn't, you'd be very intimidating. I'd stop the interview and I'd be out of here. I'd run out the door. All right. So, okay. Now, after, so 3-fight win streak. Mm-hmm. So tell me about those. Summarize those fights real quick.
Yeah.
All Muay Thai. What did you, no, were you excited that you, did you submit somebody?
There were MMA.
No, meaning, what was your forte that you won with?
Stand up. They were all stand up.
Really?
I don't remember. Yeah.
They all stood up with you?
Yeah.
They had no choice?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, they were all stand up. One was the Orange County one. She was a boxer.
So she wanted to stand up?
She wanted to stand up. Uh-huh.
Fine.
Yeah. Another one.
How fast did that one end?
We went all around.
Really?
Yeah. We went all
around.
That
was good.
She was good. She was a good boxer. Yeah, she was. I remember that one. There was another one. Lisette something. I was just way faster. I already knew I was going to beat her.
Yeah.
Because I seen her train and I already knew all the stuff. So I think I was already in her head.
Yeah.
I think she lost already before she even got there,
right,
to be honest.
Yeah.
I can just already see it.
You can tell
because we trained together before time ago. And I think she already knew. I already knew I was a little better than her.
Yeah.
Instead, so I had that confidence, and I think already in her head, she already had it in there. And I can't remember the other one, but was another, like, it was MMA, but we obviously stood
and,
up.
Okay. There. So Ultimate Fighter talk. Let's break down the show. How did that go?
So
how crazy was that? So hold on. Go back to the, so you had to go through the whole tryout process again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And was this the next season?
No, it wasn't the next season. This is like years later.
When did you decide, you know, I'm going to try again? What made you decide?
It was funny before that. I was second guessing even staying fighting. I was like, I'm not getting any big calls. I'm on this, like, you know, I think I'm over. I'm tired of training.
Yeah. Oh, really? You got to that point?
Well, you know, getting ready for a fight or something. Like, and I was fighting a lot, 2-3 times a year. And I was fighting at 125 weight class. That's the decision we made, down to 125. And I walk around 150.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy cow. How tall are you?
5'7".
5'7", okay.
Yeah. So dropping all that weight is the worst.
The worst.
The worst. If I can just show up and fight, that's the easy part.
Yes.
The weight cut, it's horrible. I know I'm not the nicest person. I'm just dragging. I have to do, I don't know if you know about the baths that we do sometimes.
I don't. I've heard of them, but explain it.
So you put, sweet sweat all over you?
Yep.
Or, and then you
all
go,
over you.
All over. And then you go into the bathtub. The bathtub has 2 bottles of rubbing alcohol. and then and the water needs to be extremely hot. And then they close up everything, and then even my coaches will put like a hair dryer in to make it even hotter. So with the alcohol, your body is just pouring out even more water. They pull you out, and then they wrap you in these blankets for more water. And like, and this is like,
because the water gets absorbed into it.
Yeah, and so you're just coming, and this is where we're already like small.
Yeah.
And I remember one time when I did 25 pounds in 20 days. That was crazy. I felt like in the bathtub, because I was like breathing, like my heart was racing, but I was breathing slow. Like it was weird. I'm like, am I going to die in here? I literally, from like,
it was that bad.
It was so bad. That was like, I'm done with this. I don't want to cut all this weight. I want to eat. I want to, and I'm a clean eater and I'm healthy, but, and I was looking at food completely like, I can't eat that. It'll be like, I don't know, quinoa.
Nothing,
I can't have
like
that.
Even
I can't
nothing.
Have that. You know, especially when I'm already a real lean person to begin with.
Right.
So I got to drop, not even just body fat, because I got down to 8%, which is unhealthy.
That's really,
yeah.
That's like, and then I got to lose 2 for 3 for a man. That's a bodybuilder.
It's so nasty.
Yeah.
And then I had to lose some muscle as well. So I was over it, and I was like, I don't know if I want to fight anymore or do any of this. And then someone, one of my coaches, Jonix, he was like, you know, they're having a tryout for the 125.
From Ultimate Fighter.
For the Ultimate Fighter. And I was like, I don't know if I want to. I don't know if I have it in me. I don't know if I want to do it. And then I kept on. I was like, just do it, Christina. Just go. See what happens. Yeah. This can determine if you're going to stop fighting or not. Let's see. So I go out there and make every single part. And then at the end where they do the interview, Dana and all them, they're like, you were here before. They're like, what makes it different from last to this time? And I said, this is my moment. This is my time. I did a 3-fight winning streak. I'm here. I learned. Last time I was fighting at 135, that probably was too big of a weight class for me. This is my time. And so I got the call.
Wow.
I made the show.
Were you excited?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was hard because my son was still young. He was in elementary school. So there's no contact at all for six weeks.
Oof.
Like no contact.
None.
And me and him are crazy close.
Wow.
So that was the hardest
part. Who watched him?
His dad, and then my mom helped out a lot.
And your baby's dad, he supported you on this?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. He was excited?
Yeah. They were like, yeah, go for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I asked my son, was he okay with it? He's like, yeah, go ahead. He liked it at the end, too, because when the cameras go back home and all that stuff, he was on it a lot.
Yeah.
So then people, like, later on, principals and all, they're like, we always wonder what you did. They're always like, she's always in gym clothes, she looks fit. And they're like, now we know you're a fighter.
No way.
Or he used to play baseball. Parents would come up like, we always was curious, you know. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm a fighter. So it was a great experience. We opened up the 125 weight class.
Yeah.
I feel like our season wasn't as exciting because there was no real drama. We already had a career. We already there were known fighters in there. So everything was great. And I had Eddie Alvarez, and he was a great coach. I like how direct he is.
Yes.
I've been coached my whole life by guys, and I like that. I don't like anything like sugar-coated or like trying to like help my – like, don't – no, tell me straight on what I need to hear.
Yes.
And there was a few females that didn't quite like that, but I respect that. I don't need any fluff. You're not my dad. You're not any of that stuff. You're my coach.
Yeah.
Just tell me what I need to
do. Tell me straight.
Just go. Yeah.
And how did the show go? Like, I don't even – Mm-hmm. I didn't tune in.
I lost from a triangle, I think, from Emily Witt or whatever. The person that won the whole thing, she doesn't fight anymore. I want to say majority of us that was on the show, we're kind of like all older, so we kind of got out.
Yeah.
There's a few still there. Savage, she's redhead.
How many matches did you fight?
Two.
You fought two?
Yeah.
You won one?
Yeah, and then lost one.
And then lost one.
Yeah. And then we already had a contract, so we fought in the UFC, like, actual big show as well.
Yeah.
So that was a crazy feeling going.
Oh, so, okay, so you fought, like, because the Ultimate Fighter, the culmination is you fight in the actual UFC, right?
Yeah, and we did. So that was a crazy experience going in.
Who
there.
Did you fight in that one?
Did I fight?
You don't remember?
What's her name? She still fights. Montana something. Yeah.
And that was your bout in the octagon.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And how did that go?
I lost that one. And I was like, Jesus, I need to learn more grappling.
And it was grappling.
It was another grappling thing. One was winning the stand up, and then I went the wrong way. And it's crazy because the grappler I am now destroy the Christina.
Yeah.
Back then, like my grappling now,
way better.
So I just dove in. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna have to dive into this. Like I can't do jiu-jitsu for MMA. I need to just dive into it.
Yes.
And I've learned. So now I'm fine. I'm good on my back. I usually go down now, but trying to work on that stuff. Wow. Yeah. Like. So like I'm like, man, if I were to be who I am now,
yes,
then I probably would have won the whole damn thing. Yeah. But yeah, but you know,
is it making you want to get fight again or?
I mean, I'm always like every fight, I'm all that's my last one because I hate cutting weight.
Yes,
but I miss the competition. I miss, and like every time I train and people are like, gosh, you're so still good. I'm like, yeah, I mean, I take care of myself.
Yeah,
you know, so that's the biggest thing as well. And I feel like as humans, as athletes, we're progressing. So when you would have thought 38, 39 would have been old, it's not.
Yeah, once you're there, you're like, oh, okay, this isn't that old.
No.
But when you're in your 20s, you're like, that's ancient.
Yeah. I haven't slowed down. Everything feels good. Yeah. Besides for a tear.
Just a little tear.
Yeah. It's fine.
And so now are you like thinking about getting back?
Definitely in combat jiu-jitsu. I want to do that because anytime I do regular jiu-jitsu, I forget not to hit.
You forget not to hit.
My last one, I hit my person twice. It's just,
oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. And going
just
from,
jiu-jitsu, you, yeah.
I forget.
What happened when you hit? Were you like, I'm sorry?
Like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm so sorry because I don't mean to.
What did the girl say? She's like,
it's okay. She just looks at me and she was like, when I found out that you were in my bracket, she's like, oh, she's the fighter. Like, people, I'm like, it's so weird because I never know what people think. I'm like, and then everyone's like, yeah, we heard that you're in there. And I'm all, wait, people know who I am.
Yeah.
And then she's like, and then you hit me. She's like, but then you were so apologetic and nice about it.
Oh my gosh.
So going from MMA to like just straight boxing, I'm okay with that. I don't forget to not take down or not kick. That's fine. Because people are like, you don't forget to kick. I'm like, no. It's going to just jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
That is it's such an instinct to just hit. You throw, like, if you move or jerk or something like that, I want to throw something.
Right.
And that's what happened. The first time she went like this, I went, bop. I was like, oh, my God. The second time, I threw her down.
Would you hit her with a jab? Or did
Yeah. And I was like, The second time, went down automatically in MMA, you want to hit.
Yeah, ground pound.
I hit. I was like, oh, my gosh. So I was like, I need to combat.
Was this in an actual fight?
No, it was jiu-jitsu over here in the Down Warfare like, ones.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
So I was like, we need to switch over to combat.
So it's combat jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? You can do jiu-jitsu and hit.
Yeah.
Kicks and?
No kicks. You can just hit. Open palm.
Open palm.
Yeah.
Not a closed fist.
Not a closed fist.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. They had one showing here at the Hard Rock.
They did?
Uh-huh. And they have quite a few all around. Yeah. So Versa is the ones that do. Like.
So that's you would like to do that?
Yeah. I had an opportunity to do it the end of last year, but I pulled out some issues with my brother, and then we just felt like it was a better time for me to pull out for right now.
And now it's open hand. Isn't that a problem for you? Like, aren't you used to closing your hand?
I'll be better with an open hand than I can do that because we were learning that stuff. So, but better than not hitting at all.
So there's no combat jiu-jitsu where you can actually close the fist. Mm-mm. No, it's open hand.
It's open hand.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so then now let's talk some stuff about your training. Okay. Talking about when you train athletes, like what's the mentality? What do you say to them when you start taking them on? Mm-hmm. Give me how you coach your training, your clients. And because I want the listeners and viewers to kind of take something from if they're looking to get in shape, in shape, whatever. And this interview is brought to you by Real Deal Wellness. This is a company my wife and I just launched, Real Deal Wellness. It's a membership base. We're charging the lowest price that has ever been offered for wellness in San Diego in history. You're going to get cryotherapy, red light therapy, infrared sauna, compression therapy, and halo therapy, which is dry salt therapy. Real Deal Wellness. You can go to our website, realdealwellness.net. Also, subscribe to the channel, share it, like it. We love you. We appreciate you. Have a nice day.
When it comes to like the younger athletes, the parents will tell me what they think that their kid needs to work on. I'm like, okay. But I always want to ask the athlete.
Yeah.
Because I don't ever want to say, oh, this is what your parents said you need to do. And they're like, they don't know what they're talking about. Yeah. Like, I don't need that. I'm like, what do you think you need to work on? They'll tell me. And then if they have video of them playing or whatever it is, I'll watch it. I'll even come to their game. And then I'll just break it down and just do it. If there's footwork, it's speed, learning how to change speeds, especially in soccer. They can't just be have one. It's
yeah.
either opening it up or closing up the stride, when to turn, you know, switches. So it really depends on what that person needs. Go ahead and do that. For clients, majority of my clients are weight loss. So I have a couple of certs. My next one that I'm in the middle of is to be a certified nutritional coach, because mm-hmm. I'm really yeah. into like the nutrition.
Right.
Not all one diet fits all.
Correct.
It doesn't. Yeah. What I eat, what I do, is not going to work for the next person. My metabolism is really fast. What I burn and everything. They're like, so what did you eat? Well, what I eat, you shouldn't be eating probably.
Right. Yeah.
I'm eating like, and I'm trying to like gain a little more muscle, you know? So it really depends on what that client wants. But my biggest go-to is always, they're like, well, I need to get to X amount of weight. And I need to do all these things. I'm like, we're not going to look at all that.
Yeah.
We need to look at one thing. Once we master that, it's the next one. It's the next one. Because if you try to do all the things at once, no one's going to succeed.
It's
overbearing. Like, yeah. I can be like, that's a
and
lot.
And then they fail.
They fail.
Because they're focused on way too many things.
Way too much.
So break this down.
The usual one thing I want them to focus on is water.
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 It's the first
number
thing.
One.
Yeah.
Most people are like, I drink a lot of water. I'm like, oh, you do? How much? And they'll be like, 30 ounces.
Yeah.
I'm like, your body is made up of 60% of water.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah. So it's off of your age, weight, and height, as I break it down. And I'm like, this is how much water you need. Bare minimum. You drink caffeine, you got to add another cup because caffeine dehydration.
Correct.
So the biggest thing, especially with females, we retain more water in those areas that we don't like.
Yes.
So to get rid of it, we have to give our body
more water.
More water to release the water. Just like food.
Yeah. Yeah.
When someone's like, I only have one big like trashy meal. I'm like, well, your body's in starvation mode.
Yeah.
It's going to store that right now. Can I eat one meal and be fine? Yeah. My body's in a different type of, right? Like I can eat one. I do Mondays. I do like a 24-hour fast. I can still work out. Yeah. I just like, because it resets yourself.
It's great.
It resets yourself. It's a natural detox.
Go deeper on the fast here. Cause I'm intermittent fasting. I'm hearing more about fasting.
Yeah. So I'd like to do it on Monday. So Sunday, from Sunday night to Monday night. Yep. I just did 24 hours. And it just is a natural way for your body to detox. And it starts to feed off of the little fatty cells.
Correct. Yeah.
So, and I.
The autophagy.
Yeah, exactly. And I still do all my workouts. I'm fine. I'm still okay. Like, it's not like I feel depleted or anything like that. I'm good. So that's what I like to do on Mondays to reset myself after the weekends or whatever happened. So I usually do that on Mondays. And a lot of times during the week, I probably won't eat until like 12.
I love this.
Yeah.
I'm studying this more and more mm-hmm. about the whole fasting thing. Mm-hmm. It's a major thing. Because back in the day, bodybuilding style, I was like, let me eat 8 freaking meals.
Yeah.
But I'm finding out now that that really isn't that good for you to eat that many meals all day. The body needs to reset itself.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I tend especially with clients, I'm like, tell me your lifestyle. A lot of times people don't want to eat breakfast, but I know I need to eat. I'm like, they don't eat it.
Yeah.
If you don't eat, I'm like, but just try to get your calories in that amount of time. So usually it's like an 8-16 I have them in.
Yeah.
8 hours they can eat their food, 16 hours you fast.
This is what you're telling your clients.
Yeah.
I love this.
Yeah. And I'm like, what's the last time you want to eat? That, like, depending on your time, your lifestyle. Not everyone's going to stop at 6 and you don't get home until like 8 or 9. That's crazy.
Right.
I don't get home until 8. Why would I stop eating at 6? I'm going to be starving.
Exactly.
So I'm like, so if it's at 8 o'clock, you want to stop eating? Okay. So usually you're going to start to eat at 12.
12. Okay. Yeah. So 12.
So that's at 8 hours. Eat your.
Yeah. Because that's 16 total.
Yeah. So eat the food. And I'll give them a whole nutritional guideline. This is good protein. This is good carbs.
You keep it simple.
Keep it simple. And then work from those and then eat and then out.
Are there days where they don't have carbs? Is it always protein and carbs?
It depends on that individual. I'll sometimes carb cycle depending on what they want to do.
Explain carb cycling because I do that, but
yeah. So as I'll have like for me, and I try to have my bigger carbs or that day when I'm going to probably hit legs.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So, but I'll carb cycle mean I'm having high carbs and as I'm going down in my days, start making it like smaller and smaller.
Right.
So, and my body's fine with that. You know, it's probably going to start eating like all the other stuff.
How many days do you do that? Oh, is it a 5-day plan or a 3-day? Like
I go usually 3.
High, medium, low,
yeah,
high, medium, low.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me,
yeah.
I do that just because I like to have like heavy. Like,
do you know what kind of macro count your high day is? How many grams of carbs?
Carbs. Usually I'm at a 200 something for protein. Carbs is like a
400,
something like that. Yeah. And then I mix it to where it's like barely that much. And then fats are usually low. Yeah. Because fats kind of goes up really fast. You have an avocado, there's your fat.
Yeah.
So it really depends on the client. But I do all that for them. I find out what the resting metabolic rate is.
Mm, how do you find that out?
Off of your age, weight, and height. There's a calculator as well that you can do it, or there's like a whole math thing. But that tells me what your body burns just being alive.
Right, yeah.
So what that rate is, that's how many calories you need. And that's where you start off with. So
start there.
Someone is.
And that's based on a calculation based on their height.
Age, weight, and height. That's your resting metabolic rate. And that's how many calories your body burns just being you.
Yep.
And then from there, if you're on a like weight loss, that's the max you can have.
That's the max.
Yeah. If you're trying to muscle gain, we need more than that.
Yeah.
So it depends on where they're going. From there, I break it down their macros with their protein, carbs.
And explain what a macro is.
A macro is going to be based off of your protein, carbs, and fats. And
those are the macros.
Those are your macros. Yep. And then you break it down of how much, like, so carbs can be, like we said, 400 or 200 or 100, whatever it is. And I tell you in that 1,000, whatever, what you're going to eat is this, this, and that. And usually I tell them to go on my fitness pal that can kind of help you. Or if you don't want to do that, send me a picture of what you're eating. I can kind of figure out what it was. And it kind of helps them stay on track as well.
And this is their 8-hour eating window.
Right.
Do you tell them you can eat twice, three? Do you tell them how many? How like every 2 hours during that?
I say, listen to your body. But I mean, 2-3 hours in between if you want. Yeah, it really depends. But the water, the first thing I make them do.
Tell me about the water thing. Let's get into that. Huge. What do you mean? How do you start that? How do you get them to drink more?
Yeah. So I'm like, how much water?
This is for everybody, buddy. Everybody listening, whether you're training or not, you should
drink a lot of water. And especially because you want to take off that water. So if they're saying, if I need you to drink, let me say 80 ounces or there's 128 ounces in a gallon.
Right.
So let's say I need you to drink 90, but you're only at 40. Okay. And let's go to 50. Once that's manageable, okay.
And how do you tell them to have a shaker? Give me what you instruct them how to make it easy. Because I have shakers, and I know if I drink eight shakers a day.
I ask them what's easy for them.
Okay.
Is it a gallon that you see the marks? Or is it this one whole one? Whatever it is that makes it. Because what I do for myself may not be easy for you.
Right.
You know, and sometimes people are like, no, I don't want to carry that big gallon. Okay. So you need to fill this up 7 times or whatever it is. You know, and soon as they start doing it, it starts getting easier, and then they'll start seeing actually weight start going down.
Isn't that amazing? Just from water.
Yeah, it's like the number one thing. Or I'll get girls, well, your stomach, like I don't get my abs. I'm like, well, you have probably some water right there. I'm like, trust me, drink more water and you'll start to see your stomach, your waistline go down.
And so how long do you, obviously you put them in a training program. Mm-hmm. But how long, like, is the water process? Do you get them, like, over several weeks?
Yeah, so it usually takes an individual to really adapt the water thing, like, 4 weeks, to be honest.
At least,
yeah, to really get, like, oh, I got to drink water. And, like, I'm peeing a lot. Yeah, good.
Yeah, hello.
Good.
That's you flushing out not only toxins, but more water.
And I'm like, if you're at night saying, I'm thirsty, that means you're dehydrated.
Yeah.
If you're already thirsty, you're dehydrated. Yeah. So I usually, the first thing is we're going to do the water. Second thing is let's try to do the intermittent fasting and let's see how that goes.
Ah, you get right on that.
Right on that. This is the time you're going to start eating. This is the time you're going to end. What's you're eating is going to be a little harder because I know we got to break some habits.
Correct. Yeah.
But let's work
on this. That's phase 3.
But let's work on this and that. And then from there, we go to the next part and the next. And then eventually we'll start to get it. And I'm like, I know everyone has their lives. I'm like, you know, you're going to have a night of drinking or whatever.
Yeah.
Let's make sure we're drinking a lot of water before, after, or whatever.
During, after.
Yeah. Let's say, you know, you have an event and you're going to be eating some food that may not match up with what your goals are. That's fine. I want you to enjoy it. So maybe make sure you're eating good before that. Don't just skip the eating before. Have something. Don't go there starving. Yeah. I always say, please don't go there starving. Because you're going to eat all the things.
Shovel it in.
That's like me going to the grocery store. Yeah. Starving. Like, I want all the things. I'm going to eat it all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly.
So that's what I pretty much start off with clients is getting the water down and then getting them into more of a system.
Intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
Then you work on the actual food, like quality of the food.
Right.
Because if they do the first two things, water, number one, is going to help them shed pounds. Mm-hmm. Then intermittent fasting is going to help them regulate their body and their hormones
exactly.
quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And that alone mm-hmm. is going to make changes, right?
Right. Already right there is going to make
without
changes.
Even changing the food.
Right.
I love this. I love this system that you have here.
And then they're like, all right, I'm starting to see something, you know? Okay, now let's do this. But also in the beginning, what I do is I test out their body fat. So I'll do their body fat.
How do you do the test?
This is a machine.
Okay.
And then from there, I get their fat mass and their lean mass. Do I really care all heartedly what the scale says?
No.
But it's a base.
Right.
And let's say you're training. They're like, doing all the things. But I'm at the same weight. Right. Okay, this month passed, I'll do it again. I'm like, actually, you actually lost fat mass and kept your lean mass or and gained lean mass. And yes. I've seen it happen so many times. Yeah. So you theoretically lost weight, the right weight, but correct. You're gaining the muscle. So this is a win. But if it was someone who didn't know that or didn't or not getting that done, they're going to be defeated.
It's the whole, yeah.
They're like, nothing's happening.
They're just going by the scale. That's it.
And nothing's happening. Yeah, so I'm not going to do this. But when I break it down, I'm like, no, you're okay. Look, this is where we're at. Or let's say they're losing a lot of weight and then I do it. I'm like, you're losing the wrong weight.
Yeah.
You're starving yourself. Why?
Right. Burning muscle.
Yeah. I'm like, you're losing the wrong weight. I don't care that the scale went down when your muscle mass went down too and the fat mass is staying there going up.
Right.
This is the wrong weight. We got to change it up. So I need you to do something different. Usually up your protein.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why.
Because muscle weighs more than fat, too.
Right. That's so a lot of people look at me, they're like, I can't believe you're 150. I'm like, well, I don't have that much fat on me.
Yeah.
So that's
muscle weighs more than fat.
Right. So I like to do that once a month with them to see exactly what's going on internally to see, so they're not discouraged and to know that their work is going somewhere. Or also if we have to change up some things, maybe that's the intermittent fasting is not working or maybe something's not working. We got to fix it. Or maybe your macros is not where you need to be. Maybe we need to switch it off, give you less carbs. Up that or something like that, you know?
And so how long do you go? So a client comes to you, mm-hmm. most of yours are weight loss,
yeah,
right? Which is obviously common.
Yeah.
And then, so how long do you keep them on each certain thing till you go to like phase two? Like, okay, water, we'll focus on water and intermittent fasting right out the gate.
Until they start seeing, I can see that they're actually
getting results.
Say, yeah. Not really results, but like, mentally.
Ah, okay.
More
the shift.
Of a mental shift.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah. Because then the results will come.
Because they have to be ready for the next phase.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because if you hit them with too much,
they're going to be out of it. Yeah.
That's what I've seen along because I've coached fitness people at Hardcore Fitness. And if you hit them with the diet, the supplements, the water, it's way too much. Mm-hmm. So step by step. So now tell me about protein. Let's break down protein for me, why it's so important. Because most people just aren't eating enough protein.
They're really not. And to be honest, I'm like, geez. How much did I get today? Because I don't get enough. And we need it for our body to retain our muscle, to store. Like when you're working out, you're ripping the muscle.
Correct.
So we need to feed that back. And the only way you can do that is by protein.
Yep, that's right.
I was vegan for 7 years.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
wow.
As I was a fighter. And my cholesterol was actually really low. We always need everything here. Usually you hear it high, right?
Right.
It was too low. And they were like, I was burning through everything. I'm O when it comes to blood type.
Yeah.
And I'm anemic. So off the bat, the doctors were like, you have to eat meat. I was just burning through fumes and I was just getting lightheaded, dizzy spells. And so they told me I have to go back to meat. So to regulate everything. So I went back to meat. It makes life easier for sure. I didn't do it for any health reason. It was more for the animals, but I was like, okay. F those animals now. I'm going to have to eat them now.
Oh, God.
I tried.
Hey, I gave it an effort, guys, but now
really
I'm going to eat
you. A solid effort.
7 years is a solid effort.
Yeah, I really tried.
But protein is
key. Yeah.
And because, like you said, when you're in the gym, you're actually tearing muscle. Mm-hmm. It's traumatic. That's why that's why you get a pump. Because you're actually tearing muscle and the blood goes out. It's very fascinating.
Yeah, and you have usually a 30-minute window after your workout to get something in you to make sure you're like, you didn't waste it, you know?
Yeah.
So either do a protein shake. I'm like, you can't get to a protein shake as
right
fast
after.
As possible.
Yep.
And then maybe you can go ahead and eat later, but you need something fast.
Right away.
And something, if I don't have that, I'll go to a deli and get like a 4-ounce chicken breast and just eat that really quick, you know? just to get something in me.
And so, that's because that is the best time.
Yeah.
Especially even carbs too, mm-hmm, because yeah, then you're going to basically guarantee that that's not going to get stored as fat.
Right.
Because mm-hmm, your metabolism is flying. Right. It's hungry. It's mm-hmm, ready. So the that 30-minute anabolic window,
right,
you know, 60 max,
mm-hmm, max,
get it in there.
Yeah.
Okay. So then break down. So your performance clients, like people that are looking, like you said this, parents out there right now that are looking to get their son or daughter to the next level in a certain sport.
Yeah.
So how does that work? Like your whole system of when you bring one on, like how many clients do you have that do that?
Right now for kids, I have 3. And then when summertime comes back, when my college kids come back, that will up, and they always just stay. I just kind of keep them in shape.
Yeah.
Whatever was going on. If they said like one person, she needed to work on her vertical. So we do that. And I love research. And I try to figure out what's going to get them there. And I do a lot of like beach workouts or whatever it has to do. And I like to look, their parents send me videos of what they're doing or not doing. And I look at it. Just being in sports my whole life, I understand the game. I don't have to play it, but understand it.
Right.
And just figuring it out, and just agility work, and just figuring, you know, fast, quick reflexes. Just working on that and just keeping the kids in shape. That's what typically it is.
And then for parents, let's talk about the parents a little bit. what to do and what not to do as a parent with your athlete son or daughter. Yeah. Tell me about
one
how
thing,
they,
especially for me being an athlete.
Yeah.
I did consume myself with track and field the whole time. And even like my coaches was like, don't do any other sport, cause this is what's going to get you a scholarship, whatever.
Okay.
By the time I got into college, I was burnt out.
Right. Okay.
Completely
talk about this.
Completely burnt out. Like, and so my son, he played football, baseball. His number one sport, his love has always been soccer. But off season, he'll do all this. He does jujitsu, like all the things. Go with his friends and play normal stuff. We're just having
okay,
that.
Okay, talk about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like you don't want to get burnt out. Just you're already consuming yourself so much. And you need that release to have that joy
yes,
and that love. And when I see parents are just all the way in, okay, fine, you got your kid probably going to get a scholarship. We're going to get in there. What's going to happen when they get in? They're going to be like me, burnt out. Like, I don't even want to do this anymore. I literally didn't want to do it anymore. And that's what I found fighting. So one thing, if I can tell parents, is be mindful of that, not burning them out in that sport, and let them know that they're still a kid.
Yes.
And they're still a kid.
Yes.
Let them have that, you know, because it's only a short period of time that they are that adolescence. Let them enjoy that.
Yes.
Let them go have fun with
preach,
their friends. And, you know, when they can, you know, when it's time for work, you do the work. But let them enjoy that time as well. You don't want to sit back and be like, because that's all I did growing up. It was just all tracking. And by the time I missed out on some things because I was so consumed in it.
Yeah. This is so important. I'm glad we're gonna keep flowing on this because I'm a flag football coach, 7, 8, 9. Now they're 9 and 10 year olds. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing some of these kids in 3 sports at one time. Mm. And they're never not, they're going from this sport to this sport to this sport, this all day Saturday, all day Sunday, yeah, all day. And I'm like, guys, relax. Yeah. This kid wants to play.
Yeah.
And then someone will come over and hang out with my son, Johnny, uh-huh, and they have a blast for 2 or 3 hours, mm-hmm, messing up the house, playing hide and go seek, dressing up in costumes,
right,
the trampoline, mm-hmm, going berserk because kids want to play.
Right. They still want, they're still kids, you know, so they still want to do that. I always have that communication. And I hope parents are not living through.
Oh, gosh. So many are.
Like, Todd, your time is up. Like,
yes, so many are.
Like, this is not you. This is not like, and that's why I love that my son chose a sport that has nothing to do with me.
Yeah, right.
Soccer is his own thing.
Couldn't be you if it, yeah.
No, I'm like, no, I don't do that sport. His dad played baseball, you know, and then I became a fighter. He's not about any of that. He's all about soccer, and I love that. And with him, when it comes to, if he wants to switch a team, if he wants to, like, this is your season. This is your sport. You tell me what you want.
Yeah.
And I'm going to support it. You saying you want this, I can help you with that. You don't want help, I don't help you. I'm like, you're a student athlete. Student comes first. I'm all about that.
Yep.
Athletics is second. I'm going to be honest with it, because going to those sports, that's secondary. You can get hurt and then you're done. But you still have your mind. You can still go to college. You're still smart, you know?
Yeah.
So whatever he wants is what he does. But I'm all, enjoy your time. Do what you want. And I love his life. He has fun with his friends. He has good balance. And then he'll go dive back into that.
I love
so he's
it.
Not getting burnt out. Yeah.
Yeah. The parents, you got to listen up here. Stop pushing your kid too much.
Yeah.
It's They're a kid. You said it. They're a kid once.
Yeah.
They're only going to have one time in their whole life. It's like a 10-year window. Mm-hmm. Not even.
Right.
Where they can actually, or seven, 5 to 7 years where they're mm-hmm. actually want to play with their friends.
Yeah.
And just play mm-hmm. and not be on a sport, not be hard driving, not be doing athletics. So I'm seeing it a lot, and it's mm-hmm. it's concerning.
Yeah.
Because I'm seeing these kids already starting to get burnt out at like a very young age.
Or you're seeing a lot of kids get like these crazy injuries.
Yes.
ACLs and all yes. that stuff. I'm like, I've didn't hear any about this stuff growing up.
Right.
But they're like, oh, I'm like, are you guys doing all the rehabbing as well? Are you doing this, all the other stuff as well? You're pushing them, but are they doing all the therapy, doing the stuff, relaxing?
Relaxing,
just
resting,
resting, doing the things that you need to do. Like my son comes here once a week because we had to have a system.
Yeah.
Book it, do it. I'm just relaxed. Fridays is a relaxed day. Don't do nothing. I don't care what you want to do. He has a game Saturday.
Yep.
Just do it. It's you perfect. Know, that just that's so important as well. And also where they're at mentally. Have you checked in with them mentally?
Yeah.
What are they feeling? What are they like? I'm always like, my son, what's your perspective on this? How are you feeling? Take everything else. What are you feeling? What do you want? And he'll tell me, okay, so this is the game plan. You know, yeah. I don't care. I don't care if you play tomorrow or not. It's not my life, you know? Like, yeah. I'm just here to support it and guide it. But I'm not going to push it. Yeah.
And yeah, because when you have to force a kid to do something that they just don't want to do.
Yeah. Or when it's not exciting anymore, you don't want that.
Right.
Yeah.
Because then they lose the joy in it. Mm-hmm. And then they lose the joy in life.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only going to go down a bad road to where they get burnt out. And then where do they go from there? Then that hurts them mentally.
Mm-hmm.
That hurts their psychology.
Yeah.
Their identity.
Mm-hmm.
Go down the list here.
Yeah.
How important is rest?
So it's one of the most important
yeah. things
because your body needs to recover.
Has to recover.
You can't just keep pushing. And I learned the hard way because I was no rest. Go. And then I'll have these injuries later or I'm just feeling fatigue. And now it's like one of those things. No, I need the recovery. I need all that stuff because it's so important. And I'm glad I got it later on. And my son is learning it where you being athletic, you can last longer.
Right.
And then you'll see it in all other sports where the major, like all athletes who are like older, their recovery, they're spending money
oh,
on
yeah.
it.
A lot.
Because that's your body.
Yep.
This is what needs to work. How are you not going up for your car, do the oil change, gas, or do all the things and expect it to run?
Right.
Same thing like your body.
Exactly.
Same thing what you're putting into it, what you're consuming, eating, what you're doing, you know, on off. That's super important.
Super important. Yeah. So, all right. So let's land the plane on this. People, because the 70%+ of our population is either overweight or obese.
That's why I'll always be employed.
Right. On that note, perfect segue. The people that are listening and watching that are in that 75% that know they need help, they need guidance, they don't know where to start. Tell them, obviously we talked about the water thing, but like if they want to call you and lock in with you or mm-hmm. let's just do say something that's going to inspire them. Like why
do it?
Why do it? Like how important because is to look like this here?
It was not, and I tell people it's not even to look like me or be what I'm doing. Because one day you won't have the choice to say yes.
Mm.
You have the choice to say yes or no. So why aren't you saying yes? You're not going to like, and I always tell people.
And what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that?
Meaning like, yes, I'm going to put myself first and go work out. Or yes, I'm going to do this for myself or whatever aspects. And I love my son so much, my family, that I don't want to be a burden when I'm older.
Come on now. All right, keep going. Let's go.
Like what? Like
go there.
Love your family enough where you're not a burden, where you're going to be here long enough for them.
Yes.
Like you're like, oh, I got to work. I got to do this. Well, you are the moving vessel. If that's not moving, everything else fails. So how are you going? Like you have to take care of that important piece. So I love my son enough to be not a burden when I get older for him, where I'm going to be here long enough where he's not going to feel that heartbreak from me dying at a young age.
Wow.
You know, so
yes.
Say yes to that. Say yes for someone else. So yes for someone who's not here long enough because they didn't do the things. I lost people in my life because mental health or because of diet. You know, my grandmother passed at 65 years old. She's from Zacatecas and
yeah.
she like being like here and being Hispanic, she didn't really know about the foods and
right.
all that stuff. We know, and we're still not doing it.
Yeah, it's there.
Like, that's, I don't, yeah.
I talk about this a lot, and you're not, you're doing it for other people, your loved ones, your kids. Not, I just, I love not being a burden, because the last 20 years of your life, if you are not in shape, if you are unhealthy, if you are obese, the last 20, your entire family is going to have to take care of you.
Yeah. And your muscle starts to deteriorate as you get older. And that's why you see a lot of older people pass after a broken hip.
Yep.
And you see like
all the time.
All the time.
Yes.
We need that muscle, like just doing some weight training, something, because that's, we're not getting that back.
No.
So if you fall, you want to make sure that you can kind of bounce back a little bit better, or you're not, that's the end, you know.
And resistant weight training is number one.
Yeah, number one.
Number one. Mm-hmm. Having muscle on your body one way or another. You don't have to get all jacked and all crazy. Mm-hmm. As long as you have some muscle on your body and you're consistently resistance training.
Right.
Very important.
Mm-hmm. My mom just got her gallbladder removed, and she was like, I'm so thankful I started working out with you.
Yeah.
Because she's like, my recovery is fast. She's like, my ab, my core, she's like, I'm getting up, everything. She's like, ready to go back. She just got it done like a few weeks ago. She's ready to come back in next week. She was like, I'm glad I was already doing that, because then maybe I wouldn't have been recovering as fast.
I love it. Yeah. Folks, do it not just for yourself, but for your family, because those, you're going to be that much more of a blessing and an impact to your family and the world for that matter, if you are in good health.
Exactly.
Health is wealth.
Yes, it is.
100%. Yeah. Okay, so tell people right now where to find you if they want to hire you at the gym for the weight loss.
Well, my Instagram is Xtina Marks, and then on there you'll have
which we'll list on your stuff, but go ahead.
Yeah, just go on there, and then on there it's on my website. You can always book through my website.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Beautiful. Christina, this was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, thanks
for having me. Broke it down. Yeah. We hit everything. We hit everything, including the bare knuckle. And the best one yet for me was the freaking arm wrestling.
Oh, the arm wrestling, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Amazing. And, folks, we broke it down. If you want to contact her, well, her information will be on all of our stuff. So we appreciate your time. It's been an honor. That's it. Real deal talk. That's a wrap. Yes, that never gets old. That's a wrap. Have a nice day.